Good morning, everybody. And so we meet again together as God's people, the church, on this fifth Sunday in Lent. Last week was glorious, and so many of you downloaded or listened to the podcast. It was quite wonderful hearing and receiving so many messages of thanks and encouragement. So we're here again, and this is to encourage all of us that we are God's people, we are his church, and we do meet in the name of Jesus Christ. We continue now, after our week out of our sermon series last week for Mothering Sunday, with the final instalment of looking at the early church from the book of Acts. And later on, Pat Hegarty will be preaching to us on our reading for today, which is Acts 3. But before we get into all of that, don't forget to open the PDF on your screen so you can see and follow the order of service. If you have it printed out, then make sure it's to hand and use the words in bold. We are working for Jesus. That's the title of this week. And it's all about journeying alongside Christ and as God's forgiven people with Christ in our hearts, just walking in faith and doing what God has asked us to do in his name at this time and in this place, according to our circumstances and needs. Keep an eye on our website and on Facebook. Our notices will be up on there, on the website, and do click and sign up for the Friday email, because that will give you lots of opportunities to engage in creative and immeasurable ways to the life and ministry of this church. As you would have seen, the village store cupboard is opening its doors soon, and we're still seeking a few more donations, and the early part of this week we will be ready and able, with the help of the Good Neighbour Scheme, to send out basic necessities to those that are isolated and have no one else to go and do their shopping for them at this time. So use that. It will become available very soon. Okay, let's begin, shall we? Let's turn to our opening prayer and pray. Mighty and most holy God, giver of all good gifts, we come before you today as members of your body. We are joined in praise and worship as we learn from you and share with each other. Build us up, Lord, we pray, as we drink in the wonders of your presence. Amen. And now we come to our opportunity to have some time of worship and praise through song.
Morning, everyone. We heard that you'd like to sing some songs you know this week, so we're going to have some that have been in the repertoire a while, and if you've downloaded the service sheet, the lyrics will be on there, so you can either join in out loud or in your heads. We're going to start with Build Your Kingdom Here, which I think captures the essence of Acts, followed by The Servant King, as we try to follow Jesus' example in serving others.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil while we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. The sick, the poor. us, babe. Entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve, and give your life that we might live. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our life as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. Scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrender. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. So let us learn how to serve,
hasn't it? After our Mothering Sunday service, we thought that life would continue in this new shape that we had found, and then Monday evening that shape changed yet again, and we are well into this three-week period of lockdown. And we would have had plenty of time, I'm sure, to reflect on life, the universe, and what we've been up to and what we haven't been up to. But there will be some things that we've said or done that we're not particularly proud of, and God has placed on our heart as a burden. And now, in this time of confession, we have an opportunity to give to God those things that are not of him and should not be part of us. So pause me for a moment and have a period of reflection, and then switch me back on and we will say the words of the confession together. Let us pray. Come, let us return to the Lord and say, Lord our God, in our sin we have avoided your call. Our love for you is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Have mercy on us, deliver us from judgment, bind up our wounds and revive us, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And knowing those wise words from Hosea are true, and that if you have really given what was on your heart to God, you are a forgiven people. Hear these words. May Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring us his pardon and peace, now and forever. Amen. And so I hand over to Marguerite, who will be reading from Acts 3, verses 1 to 12.
Today's reading is taken from Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. One day, Peter and John went to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the hour for prayer. There, at the beautiful gate, as it was called, was a man who'd been lame all his life. Every day, he was carried to the gate to beg for money from the people who were going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John going in, he begged them to give him something. They looked straight at him, and Peter said, "Look at us." So he looked at them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said to him, "I have no money at all, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I order you to get up and walk." Then he took him by his right hand and helped him up. At once the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and started walking around. Then he went into the temple with them, walking, jumping, and praising God. The people there saw him walking and praising God, and when they recognized him as the beggar who had sat at the beautiful gate, they were all surprised and amazed at what had happened to him. As the man held on to Peter and John in Solomon's porch, the people were amazed and ran up to them. When Peter saw the people, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why are you surprised at this, and why do you stare at us? Do you think it was by means of our own power or godliness that we made this man walk?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now we come to the time of the sermon. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving me my voice to speak out your word. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of prayer, we wait on you to open our hearts and minds to receive the great things that you long to give us on those who wait for you. Thank you, Father, that when we live in your presence and rejoice in your love, you let us rest in you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Acts tells the astonishing story of how the early church grew in the 30 years Jesus returned to heaven. As Jesus had promised, his people received power to witness. In one day, 3,000 in Jerusalem came to faith. That number soon grew to 5,000. Acts describes what Jesus continued to do and to teach after he returned to heaven. The apostles' acts and teaching reveals Jesus working through his Holy Spirit to build the church. We could also call the book of Acts the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Until the Holy Spirit came to live within them, the disciples had no power to meet the world's challenge. Acts shows Jesus living in and working through the people by his Spirit. As the Holy Spirit controlled and empowered believers, they took the gospel to the world, and by the Spirit's power, the church spread. Peter is an example of how the Holy Spirit completely changed a person. He had always been a ready, fire, aim kind of person, and that had got him into trouble more than once. But the Holy Spirit changed Peter from an impulsive deserter to a persuasive leader in the newly born church. He believed that Jesus is the Messiah and is perfectly happy to follow him. And that's how the Holy Spirit did it. He gave Peter insight into God's word, a keen understanding of God's plan, uncommon courage and power. And those are the characteristics of a person who has been filled with the Spirit and shows us his pattern for real growth. The early followers of Jesus knew the power of worshipping together. Luke, the writer of Acts, tells us that the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple court. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This precious privilege belongs to all Christians. We do need the Holy Spirit power to love and follow Jesus faithfully. Love God, love people. Not even Jesus relied on his own strength. He saturated himself with Scripture, prayed, served, suffered, and triumphed, all fully in the Holy Spirit power. In Acts and today, Christians follow our Saviour's pattern. Lives miraculously change. Nothing can replace the Holy Spirit life within us. Too often, faith suffers under burden of the modern world. Yet it is faith that gives each of us the strength to overcome difficulties, because God's love is enduring. We learn through faith that we are not facing our struggles alone. God's love transforms lives. It's in our mistakes and failures that we learn to be humble, and in our utter humility that we begin to grow strong. Peter and John loved the Lord as we all love him. John 13:34, I give a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. Let's not underestimate how hard it is to be compassionate. Compassion is hard because it requires the inner disposition to go with others to the place where they are. Weak, vulnerable, lonely and broken. That's where our hearts come in. Our heart changes. When you seek me with all your heart, I shall let you find me. In such a way that we have that oneness with God, that he is in us and we in him, and have a heartfelt delight to do all we can to help the vulnerable and broken. This is the attitude of our hearts. Psalm 86:12. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Wholeness, in other words, God's own hidden essence and love. It is the great work of the Holy Spirit in us to make us willing and enables us to seek God with our whole heart. Mother Teresa had dedicated her life to serving the poorest of the poor. She had witnessed in the slums of Calcutta how God's love transforms lives. We are called to serve others in everyday life. It is not how much we do that's important. It is the love with which our actions are performed. That is most important. The smallest action, done with love, will lead us towards peace. Verse 3 says, when the lame man saw Peter and John going into the temple, he asked them to give him some money. Peter with John looked hard at him. Look at us, he said. His request to Peter and John was what he was asking everybody, every hour of every day. Have pity on me. Have pity on me. In other words, give me money. And of course, he got far more than he bargained for. Money had stopped being the most important thing for Peter and John. There was a new power, a new kind of life, which they had discovered. So Peter's natural response, he didn't have any money, but he did have something better, something of a different order entirely. He didn't even ask the lame man if he would like to be healed. He just went ahead and healed him in the name of Jesus. Peter and John looked hard at the man. They stared intently at him. What were they looking for? Sincere spirit, ready to receive more than they'd asked for? A heart full of pain and sorrow, ready to be touched by God's healing love? Somehow there is something important about the deep face-to-face contact. Not only did Peter and John stare at him, but they told him to look hard at them too. What is about to happen is something that involves deep human contact, as well as a deep work of God. They were seeing with God's eyes. He doesn't just stand up and walk, as Jesus himself would probably have done. He makes it quite clear where the healing power comes from. In the name of the Messiah Jesus of Nazareth, he says, get up and walk. It is the power of the name of Jesus that counts. We are a channel. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We carry his life, his love, his peace, everywhere we go. This is the truth. He is the spirit of love and power who teaches us to witness for him. When we live our lives fully yielded to him, in total surrender, he comes and inhabits the small offering of ourselves. Then something beautiful and powerful begins to happen. When we understand what it is that he carries, the treasure, the God within, suddenly everything changes. And that's what Peter and John did with the lame man. You see, it means that when we reach out our hand and lay it on someone who is sick, his hand reaches out too. When we walk into a room, he walks in with us. What treasure and potential we carry. The greatest work of the Holy Spirit, who is the life of our life. In the name of Jesus, amen.
And so we come now to the part of the service where we declare what our faith is in through the words of our creed. I don't know if you stood up or if you stayed sitting down last week, but I invite you again that if it is your way and your preferred style, stand and we will say these words together. Let's declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God, the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're standing, sit down and be prepared to pray with Jamie as we come to the time of our intercessions.
Good morning, everybody. As we join together today in a time of prayer, when I say, Most Merciful Father, please respond with, In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. Most Merciful Father, in you, O Lord, do we put our trust. Ever-present God, be with us in our isolation. Be close to us in our distancing. Be healing in our sickness. Be light in our darkness. Be wisdom in our confusion. Be all that is familiar when all is unfamiliar, that when doors reopen, we may, with the zeal of Pentecost, inhabit our communities and speak of your goodness to an emerging world. Most Merciful Father, in you, O Lord, do we put our trust. Dear Father God, We pray for our global community at this time of crisis brought about by COVID-19. Be with the leaders of all nations and with all who hold positions of authority at this challenging and unprecedented time. Give them the foresight to act with charity and true concern for the well-being of the people they are meant to serve. Give them the wisdom to invest in long-term solutions that will help prepare for or prevent future outbreaks, and the clarity to know how to provide the practical help that is needed by so many right now. May they know your peace and be filled with your spirit as they work together to achieve a positive outcome. Most merciful Father, in you, O Lord, do we put our trust. Dear Father God, be with the doctors, nurses, researchers, and all medical professionals and frontline workers who seek to heal and help those affected and who put themselves at risk in the process. May they know your protection and peace and grant them every resource that they need. We hold our local clergy up to you, Natasha, Andrew and Chloe, and pray for blessing to be upon them as they look to provide their communities with practical help and solutions and bring comfort to those in need. Most merciful Father, in you, O Lord, do we put our trust. Dear Father God, be with the families of those who are sick or have died. As they worry and grieve, defend them from illness and despair. May they know your peace and envelop them in your love. We take a moment to lift up to you all those known to us who are suffering at this time. Please hold them in your love. Most merciful Father, in you, O Lord, do we put our trust. Creator God, as we look out upon your world, the wider UK and here in Stoke Poges, we especially pray for the coronavirus procedures that have been put in place to try and halt its spread. Help us all to be responsible in the things that we do in our lives to prevent the spread of the virus by taking heed of the recommended precautions and avoiding situations which may make things worse. During this time, strengthen us with your spirit and grant us a heart of compassion for those that need our help and hold us steadfast in your love. Most merciful Father, in you, O Lord, do we put our trust. And so we bring our prayers together with the prayer our Saviour Jesus Christ taught us. So let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sin, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Jamie, for those prayers of intercession. And so, as a church, each week we have a special prayer. It's called a collect. And as this is the fifth Sunday in Lent, our collect for this week is the one that you'll find on your service sheet. Let's pray it together, shall we? Let's pray. Gracious Father, you gave up your Son out of love for the world. Lead us to ponder the mysteries of his passion, that we may know eternal peace through the shedding of our Saviour's blood, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we will be having our final song of praise. It's one that is incredibly popular throughout this region, actually. Every summer we have Christian holiday camps for local children called Lighthouse. And this song, My Lighthouse, I know is sung by many a child and many a volunteer adult through the first week of the summer holidays. But at St Andrew's, it has become a firm favourite, and there are actions. If you know those actions, join in. If you don't know the actions, have a look on an online resource and take a look and see if you can work it out. Or just make it up as you go along. But anyway, our final song of praise, My Lighthouse. Join in.
In my wrestling, in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence you won't let go. In the questions your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea.
Meeting with us as the body of Christ. I know it's virtually and remotely, but we are meeting as one body. And so the church is still alive and is still worshipping and is still reaching out to those in our community that need and want to join in. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that we each have a part to play in the work of your body. Thank you for all the people and things that support our walk with you. Please help us to support others in turn. Amen. And so before our outro music begins to play, I just want to point out that this service sheet that you are currently scrolling down or have printed out doesn't stop here. There is an opportunity to go deeper into the passage from Acts that Pat preached on with going deeper, some things to reflect, and Psalm 23 to dwell in for this week, so that we can continue in our thoughts and our prayers to be together as one body. Take care, keep safe, remember your distancing, and if you need help in any way, do get in touch with the church office or email me directly, and we will do all we can to help or signpost you to those places where help is available. God bless.